Well, Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Father, for this great day you've made, Lord. We're looking forward to revival in each one of us, Lord. We want it to start here first and then go out, Lord. We just thank you for it, Lord. We just praise you that you're filling us up with your Holy Spirit. You're getting us on that narrow road, and you're keeping us on that narrow road. And, Father, we thank you for the work you're doing in each one of our hearts and our minds, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in each one of us, getting rid of the flesh, getting rid of the world out of us, Lord, and showing us how it is to walk in being led by the Spirit. We just praise you, Father, for that. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I ask your blessings upon this conference call tonight, everybody here, Lord, would participate, that everybody has something to contribute to the body of Christ. And Father, we thank you for your anointing upon this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. It is. It's been a good day for me. I've been in the Word, praying, and been a good day. Does anybody have a prayer request or need prayer?
I do, Linda.
Okay.
A friend of mine yesterday asked for prayer. She has had tremors for a couple of years and just wants prayer for her whole body to feel better. So I told her I would talk to y'all tonight so we could pray in the group.
Okay. Is she a believer?
Yes, yeah, she's a Baptist, a loyal Baptist.
Well, we won't hold that against her.
Her heart is really sweet, you know, and she's growing. So, and her name
Praise
is Loretta.
God. Okay. Good deal. Well, Father, we just come to you for Loretta. Lord, we just thank you for the authority you've given us, Lord. And we ask that you give Loretta bold faith to believe the prayers of the saints when they pray for her, Lord. And that when we declare that she's healed, Lord, that she believe that she already is healed. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command those tremors to stop. I command that palsy to stop. In the name of Jesus, I command any other thing that's in her body to line up with the Word of God and be healed. I command every organ, every cell, every muscle in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Loretta is healed. Now, Loretta, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody else?
Thank you, Mike, Jesus.
Well, don't call me Jesus. I couldn't heal a gnat.
We're performing as Jesus is now, so are we now in this world. We need to get used to it and grow up to it, you know, because that's what God says we are.
Yeah. Amen. The glory belongs to Jesus.
1 John 4:17b.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. I learned that from, our friend.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else need prayer?
Hello, Mike.
Yes, Gaynold.
This is Gaynold, and I was wanting to lift up my sister-in-law, Arvis. She got some kind of bad news yesterday, and she's been dealing with cancer for several months. Last spring, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then in December, they gave her radiation for some in her spine, and now they've said it that she's in stage four. And up until now, they've said it was, you know, they caught it at the beginning stages, and she had nothing to be concerned about. You know, they got it, and when she went in yesterday, they totally flipped the picture on her, and it was really a difficult thing for her to receive. And so I'd just like to lift her up in prayer, you know,
okay,
that
yeah.
The Lord would. Father, we lift up Arvis to you, and we thank you for your love for her, and we know that all these things she's going through are because you love her. And you are drawing her to yourself. You are wanting her to come to the end of herself and that she sees her need for you. And we just pray for grace and mercy to reveal the truth of your word to her, the fullness of salvation, and that it was all done at the cross, that she would be able to receive the words that we have shared with her, that she could receive them in her heart and believe them with a bold faith. And Father, I just thank you for the work that you have done in her and what you're going to still do. And I just pray for comfort for her and that when I visit her that you would give me the words to share with her and the encouragement and that you would give her peace in knowing who she is in you. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gaynold, is she a believer?
You know, she says she is, and I know it's, you know, like that, just the regular church, you know, it's a regular denominational teaching, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were, she was raised to believe, you know, like we were, that it just,
yeah.
But it was without the power of God. And I know she has not been a church goer, so to speak, but what she has been taught was what, from the denominational teaching, you know, that really denies the power of Christ.
Yeah.
And so I believe that her heart is more open now than it has ever been, because she has really you know, looked to the world for most everything, you know, entertainment and just not really hasn't really been seeking the Lord. And we have tried for years to share things with them, even, you know, when my brother was alive yet. He passed away like 7 years ago, and we have tried to share truth with them, and it just seemed like they were not able to receive it. And but I think perhaps she's more open now. And so I just pray that the Lord would give me boldness and the words that he would have me to speak to her.
Amen. Well,
and,
Father,
and I do
want to... Yeah, go ahead, Gaino.
I was just going to thank everyone for agreeing in prayer with Marlon from last week. His sister had an appointment yesterday, and her news was good news. They said hers was not cancer. You know, it's a tumor, but which they're going to remove. But no, they said it in no way does it look like cancer, and we just praise God for that.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. Well, Father, we just lift up Harvest to you, Lord, and we thank you that you've opened her eyes, Lord. Open her eyes to the truth. We command the blinders of Satan and religion off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that she will be able to receive the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father, for that. And in the name of Jesus right now, I take authority over that cancer. I command it to go. The spirit of cancer, you go from her body in the name of Jesus. The spirit of the fear of cancer, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Arvis is healed, and she's also on the road to believe in all of the Bible. And Father, we thank you that when Gaynold goes there, you're going to speak through her the words that will change Arvis's life forever to you, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for all that you're going to do in this woman in Jesus' name. And that she'll be a light to her family, and that she'll change many lives because of it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother, I have just read an article about people who have had stage 4 cancer in many parts of their body, and they said that they need to raise their pH level, and they were saying that baking soda, half a teaspoon of baking soda with a little bit of molasses every day will raise those pH balance, and that a lot of people have been getting cured The doctors don't want to tell anybody that.
Hey, Peggy.
Yes?
We just raised her pH level.
Yes, amen.
We just did it. When we prayed, we raised her pH or DH or FHH and FFA, all of it. Because she is healed in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. But I appreciate that. God can do a miracle. He doesn't need baking soda. He doesn't need water. All she needs is a touch from Jesus, and she Amen. Got it tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That's the best.
Amen.
The best Jesus.
Thank you, Peggy. Anybody else need prayer? Glory to God. Anybody else need prayer? Or need to pray for someone? Hey, Charlie and Linda, how y'all doing?
Hey.
Hi, Michael.
How y'all doing? Hey, did y'all get any snow up there on the hill?
We got a small amount.
Okay. Praise God. Well, all right. Anybody else need prayer? Boy, I'm in a praying mood tonight. Now, I know God's on the move here.
Okay, Michael, I got one for you.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, she had fibromyalgia for years, and she had it. She was on so many medications. I forget how many she said she was on. She might have been on. She's only she's like a year or two younger than me. I think she's a couple of years younger than me. She's only like 47 or something like that. But she's on all these medications for fibromyalgia, and she put on a lot of weight. She decided she was going to start going off of it because she found out why she was so down and depressed all the time, because every one of those medications she was on for that was causing that. And as soon as she started taking herself off, she started losing weight. I mean, it just started falling off of her. And when I saw her in December, I was like, oh my gosh, she's skinny. I mean, like skinny. And I was just like, that was awesome. And for a while, she had to walk with a cane. And but she's having problems with pain and all. And I you know, encouraged her. You know, I said, you know, I mean, my brother and my sister-in-law go to an Assembly of God, so the whole idea of healing and all is not foreign. But at the same time, I've said things like to my, you know, trying encouraging my mom and dad, and my brother scolded me for that. And so it's like I'm like, do you believe or don't you believe is my thought, you know. But anyway, but I tried to encourage her in that. You know, I just told her, you know, that, you know, the Lord can completely heal her, you know. I mean, it's amazing that she's gotten off all those medicines and everything, and she feels much better, you know, in one respect. But, and I think, you know, she said that the pain level has gotten better and all, but I just want to pray and believe for her that the Lord would completely heal her, because, you know, I mean, he's gotten her this far, you know, and it's made a tremendous, you know, difference. You know, she's lost weight, and she feels better mentally and all that. And so,
well, let's go ahead and pray for her then.
Okay, well,
praise
Father,
God.
Yeah. Squeaky chair. praise you, Lord, for your healing, Lord. Lord, just bring before you Doralee, Lord. Lord, she's not foreign to the whole healing thing, and just help her to exercise faith and believe for her healing. And Lord, I just command in the name of Jesus that fibromyalgia to go, to leave her in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus. That psychosomatic, that mental thing, that's all that is the enemy messing with her mind, Lord. And it's we just bind up that psychosomatic, that enemy messing with her mind, and all spirits of depression and unworthiness and pressure to strive to achieve, and we just bind up those spirits and command them to go in the name of Jesus, and we just command complete healing. The door leaves, all the pain must go, every muscle in her body, command to function properly and to be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. What's her name?
Dora Lee.
Say it again.
Dora Lee. D-O-R-A-L-E-E. Dora Lee.
Dora Lee. Okay. Well, Father, we lift that Dora Lee to you, Lord, and we thank you that she is healed. We command that depression, we command that mind-controlling spirit off of her. We command all of the fibromyalgia spirits off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you that you have put joy in her heart. You have put the peace and the rest of God in her heart. And, Lord, you put a skip in her walk, Lord. It's when she goes around now, she's going to be singing the praises of God, and she's going to have a smile on her face and a skip in her walk as she goes. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Dora Lee is healed from this point on. Missy's prayer, we put our faith together with her, and we believe, Lord, that Dora Lee is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. For Dora Lee's healing. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
You tell her she's healed and she don't have to worry about that mess anymore.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I will. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anyone else got prayer request or needs prayer? I'll tell you something I want y'all to believe with me about. We're getting sprayed a lot around here, and we find out that the government is spraying certain agents around. That people are hacking and getting certain kinds of illnesses, cold symptoms, and that type of thing. So let's just come against that. I know they're doing it in your area too. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're not under the curse. We thank you, Father, that we're not, that Jesus went to the cross so that we wouldn't have to bear the curse. And, Father, we thank you that you're going to cleanse the air and you're going to double its stuff up on the people that's trying to put it out on us in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you that the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink is all free and clear of any kind of mess that they might try to put on us in Jesus' name, because your hand has blessed it. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you tear up the jets that are flying that stuff over in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else believe that? They're not under the curse?
Amen.
I was wondering if I was the only one. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else need prayer? Can I tell you something? I'd like to just spread a little word just a little bit. The Lord says that when we are sick or we're in need of prayer, and I'm not trying to put anybody under law or anything else like that, but we are to call for the elders, and they'll lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith, and you'll be healed. So anytime there's a chance to get around people of faith when you're sick, then it makes no difference how sick you feel like you are. You need to get up and go and let them pray for you, or call them up and say, y'all need to pray for me, or talk to them and say, y'all need to pray for me. Because one sends 1,000, two send 10,000. That's a lot. We all need each other. We need to hang together here, because if we don't, we're going to be scattered. And if people who, listen, I've been reading about these Chinese people that got saved over in China. And they would work in the fields 10, 12 hours a day And then they'd go to prayer service that night, not knowing if they were going to get arrested or not, but they'd go to prayer service anyway after a hard day's work. And then they might stay for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours of prayer time, go back home and go back to work. And sometimes we have trouble just picking up our Bible to read it because we're too busy, or we're too busy to go to fellowship, or we're too busy, or whatever, whatever it is, you know, it doesn't make any difference. That ought to be, we ought to be so diligent in our walk with Christ that we'd want, the love in our hearts would want us to be with other believers, like believers. And that's been really hard on my heart here in the last couple of weeks, is that we need each other real, a whole lot. You know, we do. We can't make it without each other. And even when you get a little sniffle or a cold, you know, we tend to want to say, well, I feel bad. I don't think I need to get on or go tonight. You know, I'm just going to stay here and I'm going to. Well, no, that's the time you need the prayers of the saints. That's the time you need the support of the saints. That's the time you need to hook your faith up with them and go fight the enemy, because there's other people that are struggling too that are counting on you to be there in order to fight this fight that we have. Praise God. That's what I believe. And that's what the word says. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. So I just thought I'd throw that in there a little bit. Don't let the enemy take you away or keep you away from fellowship. And I'm not only talking about the conference calls. I'm talking about your whole walk with Christ, your whole walk with Christ. All right. Let's see. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share tonight? A testimony. How about a testimony or a praise report?
I have a testimony.
All right. Praise God. Go ahead, Terry.
I can't remember how long ago it's been now. A few weeks, I guess, that I was prayed for, just about having excitement in the Lord again. And I'm still very excited to read the Word now. And every day, God is just opening my eyes to His truth, and I've just been reading a lot in the Word, and just having really powerful times of prayer. And I've also been healed of a couple of things. I recently reread the book about the curse of unforgiveness, and I realized that I still had some unforgiveness, and I repented of that. And ever since then, I haven't had any more stomach problems. And I've had stomach problems for 2 years. So praise God for that. And I just give all the glory to God. I'm so grateful. And I've been learning more and more about the man-child, and I'm getting really excited about that. And my husband is 2, and last year in April 3rd is my birthday, Jeff let me fly there to visit with you guys. I went to the potluck on my 50th birthday. And this year, on my 51st birthday, we're both going to come out there for the potluck April 4th. So I'm really excited to come back and be with you guys.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah, so I'm just really grateful for you guys, and I'm so thankful for your prayers, and they're definitely working. And I also see evidence in my life that evidence of me actually being delivered from the Jezebel spirit. My husband and I have really struggled in that area. Where he believes he might possibly have had the Ahab spirit, and I had the Jezebel spirit. And I'm seeing evidence that I've been delivered from that. So praise God. And I'm just so grateful to God for the all the wonderful studies that I have available to me that I can just get online and learn about these things. And to learn that, the most wonderful thing was to learn about the sovereignty of God. That has just completely changed my life. And it's starting to change the life of our oldest son and his wife. And my son even asked how he could get in on the conference call so he might be contacting you guys. But anyway, I'm just excited. Definitely not bored anymore. And so praise God. I just praise him.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Praise yes. God for bringing back to death. Bringing back to dead. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a great testimony. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Amen.
We're looking forward to seeing you, too.
Me, too.
Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, I mean, it's just so awesome how just getting the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And, I struggle so long with those stomach issues and just you're turned over to the tormentor because of unforgiveness and just that little bit of truth, how the Lord just took that from you. And that's just awesome. So thanks for sharing. That blessed me.
Amen. Me too.
Amen.
By the way, that Bible study, The Curse of Unforgiveness, we're starting that tomorrow in our local fellowship.
Oh, good.
So we'll be going through that. Some of us have already been through it. Some of us have not. But I'll tell you what we found out, you can go through these things two and three times, these Bible studies two and three times. But every time, if you have a Bible study on them and you have a chapter a week, you can go through that thing three and four times and you'll find a nugget of truth that you didn't see before. And it's always amazed me how that works, and it's really good. It's been really good for us. We have some lively discussions on these Bible studies that we have here, so I'm looking forward to this new book. By the way, y'all can get that book on online and order it. It's through Lulu. So if you want it, you can get it that way. We don't make any money off of it. We only thing we charge is what it costs us to, and we have to do that because it goes through those people there. They're the ones that send it to you. So anyway, hopefully at some point in time, we'll be able to get a bunch of them, find us a storage where we can just give them away.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael, Hey, Michael, I'll just share that, Trish and I, what we do is we print out one chapter of, let's say, the curse of unforgiveness or how shall we die, preparing for the Bible study. And there's mornings where we'll just start reading through it and we'll literally spend, it's a 1 hour, if you read it through, it was basically based on a 1 hour program. But we'll start going through it, and we might only get through two or three pages, and there might be 13 pages in the whole study. And we'll get through two or three pages, and we'll spend 3 or 4 hours. It'll just spur other things and other conversations and other, we'll get into the scripture, we'll look something up. And, we might spend 2 days going through one of these Bible studies, and, we might have a total of 6 or 8 hours, it just spurs other things. So if you have somebody you can study with, and we just kind of, as we read through it, we just share that, the revelation God shows us or the thoughts or whatever it is. And then, we'll just bring that forward. And people could do that here too, is if you're reading something and God reveals something to you or you see something you never saw before, go ahead and share it. As far as in the conference call, because there might be somebody else that hadn't seen that same thing, or if you got some revelation or something set you free. Because we had a gentleman the other night that, somebody shared a testimony where they got set free from, I think it was rejection, and We had another, you know, gentleman that's new to our local assembly said, yeah, I read that book, Curse of, you know, Unforgiveness, and I think it was that, and he said, I was reading that, and he was talking about unforgiveness, and I realized I had a spirit of unforgiveness, and, you know, when I confessed that, the Lord set me free of it. And it was awesome. And you can see a change in this person.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
Like, and it was just from him getting that revelation, just reading, you know, something that David, you know, did shared that the Lord showed him. So it's, you know, it's kind of cool what the Lord can do as you're going through these studies and looking up the scriptures and that. He can work in you. And it's been pretty awesome for us.
And Mike... Hello?
Michael?
Yeah, I had to unmute. I'm sitting there talking to you, Linda. I'm sorry.
Oh, are you doing the fan ministry? That was what you were doing last time, the fan. My question is this. You know, the whole point is growing up into Christ, into all things, and our flesh needs to be burnt up, you know? And so we're all on that journey. And, of course, we know the water of the Word, you know, washes it away. But fasting, I was wondering, have you all ever done a corporate fast on this conference call, which, you know, we know is just a part of helping us grow up? If so, I would like to be a part of it.
You mean, have we ever had or declared a fast on the conference call?
Uh-huh.
Well, we have in the past. We have asked people to let the Lord lead them in a fast for certain things. Not very often, but we have done it.
Well, you know, since we're all trying to burn up, you know, our flesh so that only Jesus lives, if you ever decide to do that, I'd sure like to join you.
Okay. All right. Well, you can do that on your own if you want to, because I do it on my own when I need to get rid of some flesh.
Yes.
And we all need to get rid of some flesh, I'm telling
yes,
you.
Yes, I do it too. But, this, you know, I'm just really seeing how powerful this conference call is as, you know, all the people on it. Like, it can move mountains. And I was just thinking that would just be so powerful, and it, you know, it's encouraging to know that each one of us is doing that, and I think it would be a great idea if it goes through you guys, you know, if you think that's proper.
Well, yeah, fasting is always good, but we need to be led by the Spirit. It's not something that we force on people. If the Lord calls for a fast, yeah, absolutely, we'll fast.
Well, I know, but I would just, so what I was thinking was this. I was thinking of the Nineveh fast and the Esther fast. In both cases, they decided to do it, just in case God would deliver them, and of course they were delivered in both cases.
Amen.
And it's such a wonderful, powerful tool that God's given us, and I just thought, boy, if all of us was, you know, together on that, maybe like one day or whatever, or sundown, how powerful that would be for all of us.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we can pray about it and see what God says, and if He says do it, I guarantee you we'll do it.
Yes. Okay.
No
well,
problem.
I just was just wanting to throw out the thought because I want to totally burn up, and, you know, it'd be nice to burn up with the group.
Amen. I mean, yeah, we all throw our flesh in the same fire, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Got a testimony or a praise report? Or need prayer?
I got a praise report. This is Judy.
All right.
This several weeks ago, I had asked everybody to pray for my grandson who was doing a test on the internet for English. And my son said he got a 79%, so he passed it. And so I was so excited and just want to thank everybody for praying. So he's doing really good. He's got one more test he's got to do freshman or sophomore English on the internet, so I'll probably be asking for prayer later on when he has to do that test. So thank you very much, Lord. Thank you for giving Clay a 79%.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Anybody like to just share something that the Lord put on your heart?
Hey, Michael, I'll share the testimony about Dennis.
Okay, yeah, it'll be great.
So we prayed for Dennis, I don't know what it was, the last week, and we found out Dennis is just a local guy here that he's an auto mechanic, and he kind of works out of his house, and he's really blessed a lot of us because he's very reasonable and, you know, he's very knowledgeable in what he does and that. And Michael dropped off his truck to him. He set up to drop off his truck and left a message for him to give him a call, and he never called. And then Michael called me and said, hey, do you have another number for Dennis? And I didn't have that number. You know, it was the only number I had. And then later on, Michael went back to pick up his truck because he didn't get in touch with him, and found out that he had a massive heart attack. So we were praying for him, and we prayed for him on the conference call. So I stopped over there the other day, and he shared with me that he went in and, you know, ate dinner, took a shower. You know, he was getting, you know, just sitting there, and all of a sudden he just started, you know, sweating profusely, and he thought that, you know, his wife turned the heat up too high or something like that. And then he said the next thing he knew that it just felt like his whole body was being crushed. And, you know, his whole body was just kind of felt like we're just totally being crushed. So he told his wife to call the emergency. And what happened was is that he lives kind of out in the country. And when the call went in, they broadcasted the call out, and another city that he actually does some of their service work.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, you're messing up, bud. I don't know what's going on, but it's kind of a bad audio. What's happening, but it's not that it's skipping, is that it sounds like it's stretching and you're distorted.
Hey, Michael, right. Sounds good over here.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Did it sound good at you? Maybe it's me. Okay, well, go ahead, Tim. It's probably me. I'm going to go out and come back in.
All right, well, I undid my mic, so I don't know if that helped at all, but anyway, so the bottom line was another city heard the call come in that was out of the jurisdiction, and the guy knew who he was and decided that he was going anyways. So he showed up before the other ambulance showed up, and he went in and saw the condition that Dennis was in, and ended up, he called in for a life flight because he knew how bad a shape he was actually in. So they sent in a helicopter. And Dennis said they loaded him into the helicopter, and the pilot for the helicopter said, buddy, you know Jesus? And he said, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. And he said, that's good because, you know, in your shape, we don't know if we're going to be able to get you to the table in time. So that put the fear of the Lord in him. And because he was, you know, I guess he was in pretty bad shape, and, you know, they were flying him into Knoxville, which, you know, driving would probably be over an hour, so they flew him in there, and so they got him there, and the bottom line is that, he ended up having to have, he had 100% blockage in his main artery, and they ended up having to go in and put a stent in or something like that. But the amazing thing is they did this operation, and the operation only took 20 minutes, and he was back to work a couple days later. I mean, he just recovered remarkably. So, you know, I told him that we've been praying for him, that we had other people praying for him. And So while I'm sitting there, I said, well, do you have a little bit different outlook on life? And he's like, oh, yeah. I said, I'm just, you know, I'm totally changing my diet. You know, I really saw where my diet was, you know, was wrong. And, you know, so he's talking about his diet and stuff. And I look over on his desk, and there's two packs of cigarettes. And I pointed to the cigarettes, and I said, what are those your cigarettes over there? And he's like, yeah. He said, I got to give those up too. And I said, he says, but I'm only smoking half a pack a day now. So I said to him, I said, well, if you're going to do it on your own, you're going to have a hard time, you know, getting off those cigarettes. But, because he was talking about getting an electric cigarette or something like that. I said, do you truly want to quit smoking? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, can we pray? And he was like, oh, yeah. And he just grabbed my arm. And so I just started praying for him and just coming against that spirit of nicotine and rebuking that spirit of addiction. I just felt the spirit of the Lord just all over him. And he just lit up. And, you know, so I was just, you know, praying with him. And I didn't even, honestly, I didn't even know if this guy was a Christian. I mean, this is the first time I found out that he professes himself to be a Christian. And I knew his wife was, but there was, you know, there was no evidence in him. But, you know, he was, you know, I just see that the Lord just, you know, just spared his life and, you know, just put the fear in him. And, you know, that, you know, he's, and I think, you know, he really answered our prayers. So I just want to, you know, give God the glory for, you know, for that situation. So I thought I would just kind of share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving our mechanic. Yep, he's a blessing. He's been a real blessing to all of us here. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Hey, Famika.
Hi, I had you all on mute. Hello, everybody.
It's good to have you on this evening.
Oh, thank you.
All right, anybody got any testimonies or praise reports? Or would like to share anything?
Yes, I would like to share something.
Well, you go right ahead.
I sometimes feel apprehensive to share something, but I think it's important to share it. For the past couple of days, I've been feeling very, just a strong need to pray and seek God's face for our nation. I don't know. I just feel like really grieved for America. I don't know whether to use the word grief, but I think everybody knows what I mean. I really have a heartfelt desire to seek God's face for our nation, for our president, for the times that we're living in. And I have, I had a dream that concerns me that I was telling my husband about it just maybe a couple of days ago. I had the dream like last week. I told him I was in this church, and in the church was kind of like not really on fire. It wasn't totally cold either. But the person that was speaking was Noah. Noah was speaking. And it just was the oddest thing because people started asking me about the speaker, of like, who's speaking, what's his name. I was like, oh, that's my father. His name is Noah. And in the dream, it was as real to me as that, like, yeah, that's my dad. His name is Noah, you know. And it wasn't like I was a young girl. I was a woman like I am now. It was like, oh, yeah, that's my father. And that dream just stuck with me and it stayed with me. And I was telling my husband, I believe that the Lord, the reason why I saw myself is Noah's daughter, I said, do you think that spiritually speaking, that the Lord is speaking to my heart that we're living with this, possibly the last generation, the people that are, like, we're living through the exact times, like Jesus spoke of the days of Noah. Help me if I'm saying the scripture incorrectly, but when the end times come, it will be just like it was in Noah's day. So I felt that God gave me that dream as maybe to signify the lateness and or the hour or the lateness in the hour that we're living in, and not to take it lightly the days that we're living in. And I don't know, that dream just put something in my spirit, like a gravity in my spirit, like, Lord, just a gravity just to ask God to fill me with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. really just to be soul-reminded, really to share it with other saints, to really walk in truth and to take your salvation seriously. And another vision I have, as sometimes I have dreams and visions, but this one I had maybe, I went to Atlanta for a week, so maybe I had this one about a week ago. But I saw Eve in a figure. I don't know if that makes sense. I didn't see her face-to-face. I didn't see what color she was. I didn't see her hair. I didn't see any of that stuff, but I saw her in a figure, in a shadow, and the Lord put on my heart to understand that it was Eve, and I was sure it was Eve. And the Lord was speaking to my heart a message about Eve, how she went from dependency on life in the spirit to totally go into a life of dependency on the flesh. And so when I completely woke up and I know that God had visited me through that dream or vision, I don't know what to call it, I call it a vision, and I just felt that God was putting a message in my heart not to be like Eve, not to live a life of dependency on the flesh, and showing me how Eve, she sacrificed so much when she went from dependent on this life in the spirit to dependency in the flesh. And so when I saw that, that also brought like a gravity, like a something in my heart is birthing or being birthed to really cry out for the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And ever since I've had these visitations from God, I feel like things that once matter, they don't matter anymore. I don't know how to explain that. Like even the house, you know, we live in a fairly new house, and not to glorify the house we live in, I thank God for it, but I don't know, it's just like in this world, I don't know, ever since God visits my heart, things look different. Does that make sense to anybody? Things just look different. It just even seems like the whole world itself looks different, like different from life in the spirit, different from the way it looked even yesterday. It's like the more time that I'm encountering God or spending with God, things in this world don't look like they once looked to me. Even the world system itself, it's like, Lord, I see how this system, like the Bible says, the whole world basically is, Satan is the god of this world. I can just literally see that. So even in watching television, it's like I monitor it very carefully because God just has been putting it in my heart. Whatever you entertain, whatever you put in your ears or before your eyes, that's what you're feeding into your spirit. So it is with the Word of God. I began to just be able to turn off the television and really want to tune into God and hear what God is saying and hear what you all are saying and just really hear people who are tuning into the Lord to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in these last days. I'm sorry if my interpretation of my dream is all over the place. I'm sorry. I hope you all can understand what I was trying to say, but I don't know, I guess it affected me in such a way, like, God, like, wow, that's really something to deeply consider, not just to take lightly, dependent on God completely in the spirit.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be totally, you'd have to have your head totally stuck in the sand and not believe that we're in the end time, because we are, we're there, we're almost starting this thing. Yeah, this is the last generation, I believe.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. It just popped back in my head. Can I tell you one more thing? This is also a recent dream that I had, and it really scared me, and I just asked that you would pray about it. But I did feel afraid when I had this dream, because this was just like maybe Sunday morning. I dreamed that the country was in a lot of turmoil, and our nation had been invaded. And there was a lot of desolation in our nation, like buildings without people living in it. It just did not look like the beautiful America that I was used to seeing. And so it was like we heard some airplanes. It's like I was in a building with some people, not my family members, just people, just me and other people who were trying to find a place to hide. And we heard some airplanes, like our country was being invaded by these airplanes. And so we went out to look because the airplanes seemed to be very far in the sky, and all of a sudden they came down and they became so low, not to the ground, but they became low enough where you could read the writing. Then the people in the airplane had these red lasers where they were targeting people to try to kill people, like to just like our country was under attack. And when I looked up, it said the U.S. Army on the side of the plane, and I was totally shocked. And so that dream also disturbed me because it was like, Lord, why did I see that our own, it was like it was totally shock. All of us were looking to be maybe possibly saved in the dream. We didn't know if we were under attack or whether it was somebody coming to save us. When we went out, we saw that these people in this plane was trying to kill the citizens that were remaining alive. And when we looked up, it was like our own government was doing it. I don't know why I had this dream. I don't feel it was a false dream that was given to me by the devil. I really believe God was showing me something. It was very disturbing to me. It was very alarming to me. So that's why I'm sharing it. I just ask that you would pray about it. It was very concerning to me. Even in the dream, it was just very shocking. And I don't know. It was just still very alarming just to even think about a dream. Because when I looked up on the side of the plane, it was as big as day. It said U.S. Army. And it was, we were all just shocked. Like, wow, we thought these planes were possibly coming maybe from another country like Russia, or maybe these could be planes to save us. And we look up, it's like people from our own nation was trying to exterminate us, like they had no regard for human life anymore. It was like things were horrible in our country, and that dream really scared me. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take up so much time, but that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, no problem, Tamika. No, that last dream you had there was right on. The government is going, as even as we speak, they're depopulating. They want to depopulate the United States. They want a one-world government. All of the elite want to depopulate the world. The Army, the U.S. government, listen, we're not of this world. The United States of America is not our country. Our country belongs in the kingdom of heaven. That's our country. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're straight from heaven itself. We lay no allegiance to the U.S. or any other country as a Christian, as a true Christian, because our allegiance only is to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So that's a good one. Our country, actually the churches, will come against the true Christians and we'll be killing, just like in Jesus' time. Remember what Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and there ain't no new thing under the sun. It's all going to happen just like that. So the true Christians are going to be the ones who will be martyred. But I will say this, for those who are now losing the flesh, as Linda was talking about earlier, those who are losing the flesh and they're getting rid of the flesh and they're getting rid of the world, they're not relying on the world anymore, but they're relying on Christ. They're relying on His provisions. When your faith is such to believe that God will provide, He will protect, He will shield you from all the onslaughts of the enemy, that's the faith that He's looking for. That's the Christ that He's looking for in you and us. And that's going to happen. And we're going to be so amazed at the miracles that happens in the days ahead. God's going to supernaturally protect a group of people that are His and have sold out completely to Him in a way that's going to be just mind-boggling. I don't even know, you know, what all. Remember what Jesus said. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. So we can look forward to that. We can keep our eye on Jesus. I remember what Roland Buck said in Angels on Assignment. He said that an angel told him, he said, and he drew a square, and he put a real small square right in the center of that big square, and he said it's kind of like a picture frame, and he drew lines from the corners and the edges of it down to that little square in the center, if you can picture that in your mind. You picture a foot square frame with a 1-inch square in the center of it with these lines going down to it. And if we get our eyes on that little, and that's our circumstances happen to us in the center there. But if we keep our eyes on that, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger until it takes over and takes control of our lives. Instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, we got our eyes on our circumstances, and the circumstances just overtake us. When in fact, we need to keep it down small, and keep our eyes on Jesus. And when you keep your eyes on Jesus and you know he's in charge, you know he's sovereign, that God is sovereign, and that these little circumstances come up in our life that that the Lord himself has ordained to happen to grow us up, to mature us, then you'll be fine. Everybody will be fine. We just have to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the circumstances that come around us.
You know, Mike, I read that book on the internet about the angels that you told me about.
Right.
Buck's book, you know, which was just excellent. But that's right. Like, there's not much time, and we need to grow up into Christ, into all things, in the secret place of the Most High, on the right side of the Father, in heavenly place. That's the only safe place now.
Amen. Yeah, when you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, you're in a good place. You're in a great place.
And we can get, you know, I mean, like, that's our journey. And but I think the time is short.
The time is short. The time is short. We need to be pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. TV shouldn't even be an option in our life. Not trying to put law on anybody, but I'm just telling you, this is, he showed me, oh, I don't know, let's see, 3 years ago. I'll just say this, about 10 years ago, he showed me the darkness coming over this country, over this world, actually. And there was probably about, maybe about 2 inches of light still left in the world. And then about 3 years ago, he showed me that light was just a fraction of an inch left. And
yeah.
In other words, the darkness had almost completely covered the world. And I believe when that darkness closes, that's when it's going to start. And I don't know. I know we're very, very close right now to a couple of things. And that's earthquakes and some other things.
We have an opportunity, you know, to grow. Like you say, we need to use every second of our time to grow.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you. I the sister from, is it Formica, the one that was speaking about the dreams and visions?
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to say the same work has been, a different work has been going on in my heart with the same effect. There's been a detaching taking place in my spirit from this world, and it almost leaves me at a loss because I don't think we realize in our society how attached sometimes emotionally we're used to a way of life, and we don't realize how entangled our soul can be with this world. And I've literally been feeling kind of strangely desolate because I've been being, the Lord has been doing a work where there's a severing going on from this world. And you know, lately I've been reading The Martyr's Mirror, which is a book about the size of a Strong's Concordance, written by the Anabaptists and it starts with Jesus Christ and goes through all the martyrs of the world that they have on record and the stories of these people. I've made it to the 12th century. And, you know, in the 12th century, there's probably millions of martyrs that were killed, most of them by the Catholic Church, but a tremendous amount of people dying. And they just went joyfully to the stake and were burnt at the stake, and women and children. And I read these things. But what it did for me is I recognize, you know, we're way out of touch in this nation with what's normal. Normal Christianity, Paul says normal is this, that all that will live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. And in this nation, we haven't known that as such yet. We've been, you know, still very affluent. Even the toughest situation, you can still go down and get a free meal. The Salvation Army or somebody will take care of you. I mean, we're not in a place of desolation, but spiritually the darkness is sweeping over this land. But in my spirit right now, I've had the theology of many things. You know, if we be dead with him, then we live with him. If we suffer with him, then we reign with him. These are nice sayings, but I really feel like the Lord is doing that work in the soul of those that will allow him to do that right now. And he's bringing us to that place where we've heard the saying that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That didn't change in Jesus Christ. God gave us a means, whereas that the old man, the soul that sinned, can still be dead, can die, and yet we live. And yet not I, but Christ that lives. And this is the process. But God wants to bring us to not a theological position, but to where truly we're dead to this world. Paul says, I'm crucified to this world and the world to me. And in another place he says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raises the dead. Another place he says in 2 Corinthians 3, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. And the thing that's been, I see a sobriety coming over my spirit like I've never known before. And it's something that I've literally just been almost looking for a reference point right now, because I'm being severed, like I said, from my attachment to this world. You know, even the little place we have, a nice little house in the woods and whatever, but all of a sudden it's dead to me. There's something strangely going on in my soul where I feel like I'm truly becoming, as it was, a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. Like the scripture said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they that say these things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly had they been mindful of this, of the country from whence they had come, they might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. But right now, I believe the Holy Spirit right now is bringing his people to a place where we're truly, and I've said it, but it really is a deep work of the Spirit to come to a place where that eternal kingdom for which we believe and profess becomes more real to us than the one we're dwelling in, and that we begin to truly arm ourselves with a mind to suffer. When I read the stories of these brothers, the horrendous things they did to our brothers and sisters throughout history, unspeakable. I couldn't even imagine. I can't comprehend it. It's obvious that the glory and grace of God was upon them. There's no way they could have done what they did to endure 13-year-old children going through torture for days, you know, things that they stood for Christ and never wavered by the power of God. But I really believe that in America we need a special work, because I don't think there's ever been a generation in history, hardly, that has been so distracted by this world, so attached to it, so entangled with it, because there's never been. I mean, in Paul's time, they didn't have the kind of temptations they got nowadays. They were very base and basic, but nowadays the devil's kingdom has become very sophisticated, and temptation is sophisticated in a broad way. And I really believe in this nation we have to, especially because of the incredible affluence that we've had, the ways that our souls have been pampered, we have got to guard ourselves. And right now, that scripture again and again, what he said to the older men, the first thing, be sober, and the younger men, be sober, and the older women, be sober, and the younger women, be sober. The first thing, and I believe especially when he says, and the time is at hand, let those that are married be as though they're married not, those that buy as though they possess not, those that use this world as not abusing it, for the grace of the fashion of it perishes. And we're in a place right now where we're getting ready to be, God is trying to wean our souls, you know, it talks about the weaning of the soul. It says, Lord, I think it's Psalm 131 where he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, neither are mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have quieted, behaved myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is as a weaned child. God is wanting to wean our soul from this world, to bring us to a place where our affection is on, as it says in Colossians, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we also will appear with him in glory. But that work is something right now that I believe the Holy Spirit right now is wanting to wean our souls from our attachments to this world and bring us to a place where the affection of our heart is for the eternal kingdom, that our desire is toward the Lord. We seek a country, not of this world. We confess we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth, because quickly the grace of the fashion of this world is perishing, and we're going to see it destroyed in our eyes, and it's going to happen while we yet live. We're going to see the kingdoms that we know right now, we're going to see them destroyed. But we are going to be in a place, if we will allow God to wean our souls, as Psalm 131, to wean our souls. And we'll be like that child that's weaned of his mother. The child, when it's first, and I'm speaking to the choir when I'm talking to ladies, they know more about it than I do, but I've seen it. And when a child is first starts to get weaned, they don't like that process one bit. They start squealing and making a racket, and they want to be tended to, and they feel forsaken. They want somebody to attend to them now because I feel like I'm alone. But the process is necessary, and eventually they'll settle down and they'll get to a place where they're weaned. And he says, you got to do that with your soul. Our souls need to be weaned from this world. Our souls need to be weaned from the entertainments of this world. Weaned from we need to be in a place where we're just as content with a half a bowl of lentils and a little rice as we are with a nice steak dinner. We get our souls and our flesh weaned from this world to where we're content with such things as we have, that we're not, having to pamper our flesh and pamper our souls. Because right now, that this is going on in my spirit right now, and I quite frankly feel a little lost because I didn't know just how deeply enamored my own soul was with this world and with the attachments of this world. But I also, at the same time, feeling the Holy Spirit bringing me to that place where he said, he doesn't want any lip service from me. I know the Lord doesn't. He's saying, don't call me Lord, Lord, unless you're going to do what I say. And this is what God is bringing his people to, where where the Lord Jesus says, I come to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And really, the only reason we have on this earth, the only reason we're here, brothers and sisters, is to be faithful to God, to bear eternal fruit, to be witnesses. The word witnesses in the Greek is, look it up, it's martyrs, to be martyrs. You'll be witnesses, you'll be my witnesses. And whether you die physically or whether you die in the spirit, your old man, that soul that's in it, it shall die, because we're not going to raise with him unless we go through death with him, unless we go through the process of that core of wheat being planted in the ground and dying. It'll abide alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And this is a faithful thing, brothers and sisters, whether we die in the flesh, whether we die to ourselves, that process, it's got to happen. And right now, God's Spirit right now is bringing his people to that place where we be dead with him and we live with him. And I sense in my spirit right now the Lord bringing me to a place of willingness that I've never been before, where it doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter if he says go. It doesn't matter if he says stay and pray. It doesn't matter if he says what you have is not going to be yours anymore. It doesn't matter. If I know that I know that the Heavenly Father is speaking, his will is all I want to do. Because we have just this short stretch left, and all of us are going to be standing before the mighty God. And this world is passing away, and we lived in a strange blip in society, but throughout history, through all the centuries, and even, we're a little out of touch with reality, but in other countries, there's been 200 million Christians killed in the last 150, 200 years. And we're right over here thinking that normal is what we've been experiencing. This is not normal. There's a great wrath against the saints of God from the enemy. They can tolerate Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, Mormons, anything else, but true Christians, the devil hates them. And there is warfare against them. We've got to come to a place where that eternal kingdom is so real to us that these brethren would walk to the stake and they'd kiss the stake they were getting ready to be burned at. They said, you don't have to tie my hands. I'm not here because I'm being forced to be. I'm here because I choose life with Christ over life with you in this world. And we've got to be that place. God's calling us right now. What do you want? I think, I told you that the Lord spoke to me one time, actually two times. I knew that the Lord spoke this to me clearly. And at the time I was being challenged. But he said, ask me anything you want. I'll give it to you. Same thing Solomon was asked, and that sounds like a marvelous thing. At the time, I had been alone for 15 years. I was very alone. I didn't want to be alone. I cried out to God in this matter. I fasted and wept over it. But when the Lord said that, I couldn't waste my cry out to God and say, oh, Lord, I want a godly wife. I didn't do that. I said, Father, I want a testimony at the end of this race like Enoch had, that I please God, and I want to be faithful to you and fruitful, and I don't care what it takes. And that's all I could cry out, because when God gives that opportunity, he's really, really testing you. And I ask you this. I ask each one of you, brothers and sisters, what do you really want? What do you want with all of your heart? What burns in your desire? When you go to bed, you dream about it. You wake up, you think about it. What is the thing that consumes you? Because you're going to be holding it in the end. What you want, God's going to give it to you. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, you'll end up with it. But we've got to come to a place where, not a theological position, but in reality, our heart cries out and says, Lord God, I have none in heaven but you, and in earth there's none I desire but you. And Lord God, that I might be found faithful to you, that I might be faithful, and it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. And brothers and sisters, that's not a lovely theological position. It's a work that has to be done, the weaning of our souls from this world, the weaning of our soul from the affections of this world, from the lusts of our flesh, from the things and the sins that are not sins, that are accepted, that nobody's going to put their finger on, but that the Holy Spirit can put his finger on. Because anything becomes an idol. Food can become an idol. Hunting can become an idol. Anything can become an idol. But it's to come to a place where we choose life with him, life in that eternal kingdom. And right now, you want to bear fruit? You're going to see resurrection life come forth in your being to the measure that you yield to the process of the cross. And when Christ is resurrected in your life, you're not going to look for opportunities everywhere you go. A manifestation of life will take place. Light cannot be hidden. It's set on a hill, like a city set on a hill. It cannot be hidden. It will be manifest. It will be made manifest. But the life that you want to see is going to come out of the death of yours truly. And brothers and sisters, we need to come to a place where we side with God against our own nature, where we agree with him. Lord God, I agree with you, Lord God, that I want you to deal with all the darkness of my heart. Come in, Lord God. Let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. And we come into agreement with God. Because right now, God is going to have a people that are going to walk like no people have ever walked. But it really is a remnant. It really is a narrow path. It really is a remnant of people in this world, even a remnant among the people that profess many things. But in our hearts, God's looking at the secrets of the heart. He is the one that searches the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Lord weighs the spirit of a man. And in our heart, there's nothing can be hidden from him. So come into the light. Brothers and sisters, come into the light. Welcome the process of the cross in your life. Allow God to wean your soul from this world to where the things that you love, the things that you used to be give you much satisfaction can suddenly become, like Paul said, but dung. The things were gained to me in this world, I count them loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by faith, the righteousness of God, by the faith of Jesus Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained, either that I'm already perfect, but I follow after, if that by any means I may apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended me. Forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Jesus Christ my Lord. And as many of you as are perfect will be thus minded. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. And brothers and sisters, we need to be able to say with Paul, when he finally did finish his course, he said, I'm now ready to be offered, speaking of his martyrdom. And he said, for I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. And not only me, but all that love is appearing. Brothers and sisters, we need to have that testimony before we cross the divide. I've finished my course. I've apprehended that for which Jesus Christ apprehended me. I count this world but dung, that I might win Christ. As it were, a bride winning the prince's heart, winning the king's heart. And brothers and sisters, God is not going to marry a people that have a mixture of heart. He's going to marry a people that have a fervent love for him and the desire of his life above their own.
Amen. Get me fired up. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Praise God. Thank you, Michael.
Hallelujah. Yes, that's thank right. you.
Got to get rid of that. Got to get rid of that self. Got to get rid of self. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. We got to die to self, folks. Die to the world. Die to self. Die to the flesh. There ain't nothing more important right now than what Michael was talking about. Sever from the world. Be severed from the world. Be weaned from the world. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be, that's something we ought to be doing every day, every time that God brings something in front of us. When the world comes against you, what do? Do you slap back or do you turn the other cheek? Deny self, he says, deny self. Do like Jesus did. When you do like Jesus does, you're on the cross. You're on the cross. Praise God. This world is not my home. Praise God. I forget that song, but that's a good song. But thank you, Michael. That was awesome. That's one we're going to pull right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got any comments they'd like to add?
I do.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
The Lord was speaking to me today about, the self and all, and the Lord really impressed me with this video that I had sent to Michael and to Tim and some others that I have their email addresses. And if any of you all want to see this video, it's awesome. It's go on YouTube, and it's called The Original Revival Hymn. And it's a 38-minute video about Duncan Campbell. The beginning of it is him speaking, a live audio of what Michael had shared with the revival in Lewis, Scotland, that he shared with us before. But it's really an awesome video. And there's a brother in there that speaks about humanism. And I always heard about it, but I don't know if I ever heard a clear, concise description of what it is. And this brother just really nails it. And I'm not sure, there was someone else, I don't know if it was the same one, talking about his trip to Africa.
You're talking about Terrence Reed had 10 shekels in his shirt.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly. And, and I listened to that video twice, well, one full time, and then I was doing some other things on my computer, email or whatever, and I was listening to it again, but not intently, the first half I didn't hear intently, but the second half I listened to it, when I got done doing what I was doing. But and that just really hit me,
I like what Leonard Ravenhill said on there too. He said, "You're saved. You're saved. What are you saved from? You saved from lust? Are you saved from the world? Are you saved from He named about a half a dozen things.
Oh, yeah, that
and it put it and it put it in the right perspective is what it did. What are you saved from?
Mm-hmm. But I have to confess that. When Terry, when she first spoke two, 3 weeks ago about she wanted to be prayed for, and she said about, she made this confession of being bored. She says, that probably sounds really bad, but that's the only way I know how to describe it. And it's like, that just was like, whoa. That just hit me because I could relate to what she said. And, when Tamika prayed for her. You know, I was, you know, receiving it for myself too. But it was, I don't know, this whole humanism thing, you know, it's like, it just hit me now, just even when I started thinking about this and started talking about it, you know, that whole humanism thing, you know, it's like things, even things that I've been taught in church. You all got to watch this video. You got to see this video. If some of you have never seen this, you have to watch it, because these brothers.
What I did, Missy, was put that audio on the conference call. So if you get on 30 minutes early, you can listen to it.
Oh, really?
It's been on there about a week now.
Oh, really? Because, I mean, I know before you said that you weren't able to get on until 5 minutes before. I guess that all changed. But anyway, that's awesome. Yeah, everybody, if you can, get on and listen to it that way if you don't have the opportunity to do it on YouTube or whatever. But anyway, it's just like, I just want to listen to it over and over, because there's some things, when I listened to it the second time, I had to stop the screen, because there are things that are said so quickly, and even though it has it up there, I can't catch it, because they're just like pounding it. I mean, they're just like, you can just hear the Spirit of God speaking through them, and you know that what they're saying is the truth, but I can't even catch it all. I had to stop the screen and read it, you know? Because I know it's like you listen to it through once and you just can't catch it all. But it was just like, the Lord was just like so speaking to me, and just even things that you were taught in church growing up, you know, in the fallen religion, apostate system and all, you know. It's like you didn't realize that those things and those mindsets, you know, and just certain things were there, you know, and it was just like, it was just so revealing, you know. It was just like the Lord just really showed me himself in me, and, you know, helped me to, I'm not saying I totally realized it, but he just really showed me, a lot, and I had to, you know, really repent, you know. It's like, I mean, how many times have we heard, you know, we're not here for ourselves, we're here for the Lord, we're not our own, you know? But there was a brother that, like I said, he was talking about the whole humanism thing and stuff, and it just really hit me, and I was just like thinking about, there was just like, I went to bed that night thinking about it, and then when I got up in the morning, I was thinking about it again, and just, it just, you know, I want that fire, you know, too, that Sumika has, and I, you know, I realized that, you know, that boredom is because that's the self, you know.
You know how to get that fire, Missy. You know how to get that fire is praying and getting in the Word. Praying and getting in the Word. That's how revival started in all those places. Was prayer, heartfelt prayer to God, reaching out to God, man, just longing to get in the presence of God, like Hebrews 10 talks about. We have access to the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, and we can go into the throne room right where he's at. We can get in there with him and sit up in his lap and talk to him and have him tell us what, you know, the things that we need to do to get into that realm. I think it's just awesome. CD. It's about 30 minutes long, about 30, 35 minutes long, and it has five or six revival preachers that have preached on there, Leonard Ravenhill, Duncan Campbell, and Paris Reedhead.
Yeah.
And gosh, I can't think of all of them. But anyway, it's a good one. Y'all can get it on YouTube, or you can even come in here 15, 20 minutes early and listen to some of it. But yeah, it's available out there on YouTube. It's called The Revival Hymn on YouTube, and I would recommend it to anybody. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You got anything else, Missy?
Well, I'm just putting myself out there and, you know, and asking for prayer, you know, because, you know, it's like, I, you know, like, you know, Tamika prayed for Terry, you know, I just, you know.
Okay.
I think,
let's,
you know, part, like you were encouraging us all to, you know, if you're sick, to ask for prayer, and I think that includes anything that we may be struggling in, so I'm asking for prayer.
Okay, well, we'll pray. Terry, too. Terry got, she's on fire for God. After listening to Famika's testimony, we prayed for her, and now she's on fire, and the scriptures are coming alive to her as well. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we pray for Missy and everybody else in this conference call, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would put the fire of God in all of us, Lord, and that you would turn that Bible to a hunger for us, Lord, to read and to study and to get in the Word, Lord, to know you closer and more and better, Lord, and to be closer with you, Lord, and to reach out and to get into that spiritual realm, Lord, where you're the only thing that matters in our life, that where, like Tim was talking about earlier, where you go into an hour Bible study and you come out 3 hours later and you've got all kinds of revelations on a little old hour Bible study. Father, we just thank you that you're going to do that to all of us. And Lord, we thank you for opening up this spiritual realm to us, Lord, and giving us this hunger for the Word and hunger to know you more, Lord, and to place that love in our hearts and that joy in our hearts that we all long for, Lord, and that peace and that rest that we all long for, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're severing the world away from us, Lord, and you're placing the kingdom of heaven right with us, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord, for the testimonies that's going to come forth in the days ahead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Famika, you had something you want to say? Yeah, just
respond to Michael.
Yes.
Michael, Brother Michael, I thank the Lord for everything that you said. It really helped me a lot because when I have those feelings of sobriety, because one moment I feel like I'm on a mountaintop and another thing I see a dream or a vision and I feel so sober and I feel the fear of God, and like some days it just really shakes me. Like, I wondered if sometimes the enemy spoke to my mind, are you sure you're not depressed? And just hearing you just confirmed a lot to me, because it's a stage that I'm not so familiar with because it's new to me. But I thought maybe because of the things I was going through in my personal life, you know, in the natural world they tell you if you have depression, the signs are loss of interest in life and all those things. And just hearing you say that just really, really has brought some answers to my own life, because it kind of scared me, like, why am I feeling this way? Or, you know, Lord, I have my son, he's only 3, like the carnal mind will begin to think like something's wrong. Like, why am I should be happy. I don't want to be ungrateful. I want to be thankful. I have a nice home. I should be happy. And those thoughts come to my mind. And just hearing you, it just really, really, really blessed my soul, because it helps me to see that, you know, it's not in the, I don't know the sister that said something about me praying. I just want her to know I've gone through so much in the past couple of years in my personal life. Even I told somebody today, some things I've gone through, it was so much of a demonic attack on my mind, I thought I would have a nervous breakdown. And for so many years, I would just be crying out to God. I couldn't feel nothing. I didn't have a testimony. I was so depressed. It would just be a night and day attack. And it's only the grace of God. And I know God is no respecter of persons. And some people seem to be so further ahead in the things of God, to me, further than I am, that it scares me because I feel like I need to get caught up a lot quicker. So I just encourage you, keep seeking the face of God. And my seek came out of my desperation because I so desperately needed help, and I was so needy, and I was so broken. And I can't say that enough. It wasn't because I was so spiritual. It was like I was so broken and in such pain, and I just kept crying out to God and running here and needed help and asking for prayer and pray for me, help me, pray me. You know, it was like I was just felt like I was running for my life, and it's still, I know I still have to continue to run for God, but I just want to thank Brother Michael because there have been days where I'm having these dreams and it's like, oh, visions, and I feel like a loss of interest, and it's like I thought maybe somewhere the enemy was like, something wrong with you, you're depressed. Maybe it's your personal life, maybe you're depressed, and I'm like, I don't feel depressed, I just have a loss of interest, and I find myself telling people that in my personal life, people that know me, like, I just feel like I want Jesus, I don't care, and things that people want me to care about, I just find myself saying, I don't care about it, and people I used to be able to watch on television preachers, I don't know if it's the right attitude, but I find myself getting angry because one man took like 2-3 hours, he's on TV, and the whole thing he's telling people, if you sow this money, you're going to reap a harvest. And in my heart, I'm like, God, really? He's not telling nobody they need to be saved. You're lost. You need to repent of your sins, turn to God. You know, it just grieved me. It's like, God, this is false. And I was not trying to be judgmental. And then I just feel like at times I say, Lord, I don't want to be judging these people harshly. I don't want to sound like I'm being mean. But it's like an indignation came over me. It was like, dear Lord, we're at the end of the world, and you still got people 3 hours raising money. And I'm not saying the church does not need money, but I just feel it's so needful to warn people. And God and his word, and I'm not trying to preach to anybody, or I want to be submitted to the men of God, and I'm not trying to teach the men. But I just know in the Bible it says that God will give us shepherds after his own heart. And I have been praying for that scripture. God, give me a shepherd after your heart that will feed me with knowledge. So I don't want to perish. And that's my prayer for my brothers and sisters. And I don't want that sister to feel afraid that God's going to leave her behind or she's not going to be where she needs to be because it's about dependence on the Spirit. And God helped me even when I was weak. I was not so spiritual. I was so weak. My mind had so much confusion. And it was just the mercy of God that helped me, that pulled me out of a horrible pit. And I promise you, I was not able to really fast. I just was crying out of my desperation, God, help me, I'm in a horrible pit. And he helped me. So thank you, Brother Michael. Thank all of you, but Brother Michael, thank you for sharing your passion and your zeal for the Lord. I didn't understand it at first when I started coming on this call. I'll be honest, I didn't understand Brother Michael's zeal and passion. I was like, wow, God, wow. And when I hear his heart, it's like, dear God, God used him to confirm that this is real because that's another attack. When I have dreams that I share with people, I've been telling friends, the end is upon us. And my husband said, you really believe that? And I said, yes. And I tell my friends, I said, the end is upon us. The end is upon us. We're living in the end times. They're here. It's happening. And then the Lord will lead me into doing some researches because for many years I had dreams from the time I was born again, 21, at age 21. I'm 45. God was showing me the gay agenda. I was 21. I went on a fast, and I saw that it was on television. And I was crying. I said, no, God, that's not going to happen in my time. And I didn't understand it. Then I saw the banking system crash long before it crashed. I saw China exalted above America, that America became lowered, and China became exalted, and I was afraid. So this is through many, many years, and I didn't always understand these things. I saw a group of people that spiritually they were like vampires. They were very wealthy, very powerful people. They were evil people, though. They were very evil. They had evil spirits in them, and they were almost like they were human outwardly, but inwardly they were like beasts. And in that dream, I could see in the spirit they were evil people. They were very powerful people. And I didn't know that God would lead me into a search many years later to understand the Illuminati system, to go and search, and started showing me things about. And I never want to speak against America. I always want to believe this was a Christian nation. And God began to show me that the seed of Satan is throughout the world. And the saints are going to become a very, very, very peculiar people. The spirit of Antichrist is becoming so prominent in the land. And it's right upon us. There's an Antichrist spirit in our nation. People are teaching other people. I even saw this the other day. I was doing a research. They were showing the administration for the current president, which I'm praying for. That's another thing. I saw his face on the internet the other day, and something in me broke. I began to weep, weep, weep. And I know it wasn't my weeping. I know it was the Lord. I was saying, God, this man is so trapped. And I began to see things, and God began to let me feel things. Like, he's so trapped in a system. He doesn't know how to get out. He knows he's doing things that are putting this nation in a deeper, deeper darkness, but he's a part of it. And I began to cry out for him. But anyway, I'm sorry if I'm dominating the conversation, but I just want to share one more thing. The other day I was looking and doing my research, and they showed this clip of when the president first took the office, either his first or second term, and they were showing groups that they were targeting. They said anti-terrorism groups, white supremacist groups. They went down the list, groups that were against the government, and on that list they said Christian identity groups. I said, my God, Christian identity groups, meaning if you identify with Christ, you are becoming a threat to the government. That's exactly what they're saying. And that was shocking to me. I was like, Lord, my God. So I would just say thank you so much for everybody sharing so much. I live in a country town. I live in an isolated area. I don't have any fellowship with any other Christians. And just hearing what Brother Michael and all of you are saying, it's just showing me that this is real. Because sometimes the enemy wars with me. Oh, you're just an isolated lady praying isolated prayers. And you're living in a fantasy world. This is not real. You don't even have anything to test it by, but I know what God has shown me. I know I'm not being a false prophet, that God showed me those things in dreams and visions over years. He showed me the church in the last days. He took me in the spirit, and I flew over the country. I know this may sound crazy, but it happened. I saw the churches, and God let me see and hear the things Christians were saying coming out of the churches. They were exalting their leaders. One was saying, I'm of this one. Just like people do today. Oh, I listen to this pastor, this preacher, this, I'm of him. And God showed me he was not pleased. Nobody was exalting Christ. Everybody, most of the churches were in their flesh. They were not serving God. They were serving mammon. They were serving man. They were serving the things of this world. And it was so difficult to find a true church. And I was grieved when the Lord showed me that about 7 or 8 years ago. And so now I see all those things coming to pass. And so, I don't know, I'm finished. I talked a long time. Thank you all for listening. But Brother Michael, I don't have words because this dream so grieved me. I'm like, made me so sober but yet grieved. Like, I don't know. A sorrow entered into my heart for the nation, for the church, and also an intercession into my heart to pray. Just God put on my heart, just pray, pray. Pray. Just continue to intercede. Pray. And not get caught up. Because sometimes I get in my flesh, too, and get angry about loss, thinking about loss. If I lose, if you lose something, what if, so what? You lose this, you lose that. You're so caught up in this world. Perhaps God is prying it away from you so you can really gain Christ. And I don't always look at it that way when I'm in my flesh. So I thank you all for sharing these spiritual things, these truths. It's like it's saving my life. Even this phone call tonight, I feel like breaking down because I feel like God is using it to save my life.
Amen. Well, Michael, do you have anything you'd like to respond back to Famika?
Well, I just thought of that scripture when she just said that last word there, and that's the one in Hebrews 10. I'm going to find the exact verse here. But it says, they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. It's the 34th verse, Hebrews 10, 34. It says, And you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves you have in heaven a better and more enduring substance. And that's scripture came to me a little there. But I appreciate this sister's testimony, and all of us right now just need to yield ourselves to the Lord and be the vessel God's called us to be, and the member in the body, and strive for that eternal reward. And we have a short run. It's going to be a very tough, intense time, but this is a short run, and it'll all be over. So let's be very focused, single-eyed, and fruitful.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Famika. That was a good word. Malcolm.
Is my mic working now?
Yeah.
It sounded like it wasn't getting through. I'm kind of harking back to what Missy was saying about the revival video. I just wanted to kind of share what I've already shared it probably quite a while ago, but when I first I heard about Andrew Strom on a website that somebody had. It was actually somebody very involved in the Toronto Blessing. It was my first exposure to anybody that I thought I might be able to respect who might allow for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know. And so, but Andrew Strom's somebody had put just a little link to his website on this Toronto Blessing Guy's website. And so I went there, and I ended up on his mailing list and started, you know, realizing that, you know, there's... I started studying Andrew Strom's life, especially his early life, up to age 17 and beyond. And then he eventually sent out a link to this revival hymn video. And but when I first heard that, it was very emotionally very difficult for me because it really shook me up. I ended up going through each of the. I'd never heard of Duncan Campbell or Paris Retard or Leonard Ravenhill or any of these people that were on there. And so I painstakingly looked up each person, and I downloaded all of Duncan Campbell's stuff. I think about 26 or 27 sermons or talks the recordings that are on sermonindex.com or .net or whatever it is, and or .org. Sorry, I've been there for a while. Actually, by the way, just kind of an insert, what David Eels was reading from, actually you can listen to Duncan Campbell saying that whole thing, and it's really incredible to listen to him relating that story about when God came down the island of Lewis. Kind of neat if they could put that link up there, maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Michael?
Are you talking about the New Hybrids revival?
Yeah. Well, the Lewis. Yeah, the Lewis revival.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, man, I really started studying Duncan Campbell, and he makes a statement in there. Well, I never heard anybody speaking in tongues. I heard that somebody had, and that's all he said. I thought, well, that's interesting, because I was trying to start out the tongues thing. But then I listened to all of, you know, a lot of Paris Reinhart stuff, and listened to Leonard Ravenhill, and as you all know, there's a huge wealth of sermons by all these people and videos and whatnot. Well, videos are especially of Leonard Ravenhill, because he's kind of the link between the guys from the earlier revivals to, I guess, what did he die in the... Anyway, I'm not sure when Leonard Ravenhill died, but it was...
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was more recent. So anyway, that was long before I even heard of UBM. That video really, really, really got me going. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, that's an exciting. It's one to listen to get stirred up in the spirit, and praise God over. I tell you, and something else is to read about these old saints. And these old revivals, get you fired up too, how they did them, how they prayed and prayed. It wasn't just that God dropped down. There was some prayer going on somewhere. But, you know, I just believe that our prayers are going to be answered here one of these days about revival here. And that's why we need to be praying and asking God for revival to start out in us individually first. And when God starts that revival in us, just like Famika was talking about and Terry was talking about, and we all want, we all need, then I guarantee you it's going to spread like wildfire when it happens. God said it was. This last revival is going to be worldwide. It's going to go out across the world, and more people are going to get saved during this next revival than at any other time in history combined. Because he's got some people at all over the world, situated all over the world, that love him and would do anything for him and would obey his every command, everything that he asks them to do, they're going to do. So this is an interesting time we're in. If you're a Christian, it's going to be a great time to be in. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be, and that's why God has this group trimming the flesh off, trimming the world away from them, and putting faith in them to believe, because you're going to need it in the days ahead to help other people. They're not going to know where to, because Walmart's going to be closed. Kroger's is going to be closed. All these food stores are going to be closed, and people are going to be starving. And there's going to be all kinds of junk going on. But we need to have our eyes focused. Michael talked about this a few weeks ago. We need to have our eyes focused on Jesus when this happens. And when you have your eyes focused on Jesus, you know, those bombs can go off right at your side. It ain't going to bother you. You just brush the dust off and go on. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be translated into other areas. Some of you might be translated into other areas to save people, that God will place you in a place to help to save people, you know, at the last moment. I believe that's going to happen. I truly believe it. And some of you are going, you're situated now and you don't know where you're going to go. It doesn't make any difference where you're going to go. I tell you what makes a difference is where God sends you. God's going to send you wherever, you know, wherever he needs you. And just like Michaels was talking about earlier, don't get attached to what you have around you. It ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter one iota. You know, these houses that we live in, that's nothing. That's nothing. I mean, the house that God's got for us up in heaven, make these things look like sandboxes. I don't care how big it is. It's going to make it look like sandboxes. So we don't have an attachment to anything in this world. Don't put your attachment to anything in this world or anybody. Put it on Jesus. That's the one you need to be attached to. Praise God. Glory be to God. Okay, has anybody got anything else they'd like to share or comment on? Well, I guess it's all been... Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is a totally aside, but I'm sure I'm probably the only one in here that would... I don't know. But in that revival hymn, there's some music that gets pretty... It's a little more, I'd say, modern. you know, kind of rocky. So there were some folks I wanted to share that with, and what I did was I went in and edited the video... I took it out, and it was really seamless. You can't even tell.
Oh, really? What'd you put in there? Rock of Ages or Victory in Jesus or something?
No, I didn't substitute anything. It was just verse one right next to the other. It just worked right out.
Okay, well, praise God. Oh, I see Paul and Kiana's on. That's great. Awesome. Okay, anybody else? Does anybody need prayer? I know some more people came in.
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
Hey, I actually do. My sister Kelly just called me. She had gotten done talking to Pamela and stuff. She had a really awesome dream, and she's going to send it to David. But I just want to pray for her. because she's wanting to listen to UVM and stuff, but I just don't want her getting scared of things she hears and stop listening to anything. And prayer for her that she would get the truth and understand it and just, you know, better her life because of it. So.
Okay, well, go ahead, Kiana. We'll just believe with you.
Okay. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Sister Kelly, Lord. She's a wonderful woman.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
I don't think he knows how to unmute his phone yet. Kiana, if you're on there, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, so stand still and pray again.
I will.
Okay.
All right, Lord, and I just thank you so much, Lord, that she's being wanting to know your word and wanting to know more about you. And I just thank you so much that she just has a heart for that. Lord, I pray that you would just show her everything that you need to show her and get her on the path that she needs to be on and just help her, if anything, get her husband on there too. And Lord, I just thank you so much for my sister. I guess just amen. Just thank you, Lord.
Amen. Tim, do you want to add anything, or Trish? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little slow at unmuting. Father, I just thank you that Kiana has amazing faith and you always answer her prayers, and I just stand in agreement. Amen.
Amen. I do too. Lord, we're looking for the time when Kelly's going to be on here with us. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Tim. Good to have you on, brother. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe. Hey, Tim, can you hear me? Tim Mahern.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. Are you coming up with Chris next week?
You best believe it.
All right. Praise God. That's awesome. That's
yes,
awesome.
Sir.
All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add before we close out here tonight? Been a good night. Been an awesome night. I tell you what, let's do this. I believe the Lord wants us to do this. Let's, I'm willing to fast Thursday for Thursday night and to ask God for revival in us, in me. And I would ask that anyone that feels led to just go ahead and do the same thing for Thursday.
Okay. And then when are you going to start? Just all day Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will too.
Okay. That's good. Awesome. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for a great night tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your words that came forth, Lord. We praise you, Father, for the things that you're doing in each one of us. And we thank you for the testimonies to the fire that you're lighting inside of people's, Lord, spirit. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to light that fire in every one of us, Lord. And it's going to not only be a fire, it's going to be a dancing fire. And we praise you, Father. And tongues of fire coming all over us, Lord. And I praise you for that day. And I thank you, Lord, for that day. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that Thursday night be an exceptional night, Lord, that it be a mighty night, that we'd start right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just fill us up with your joy and your peace and your rest, Lord, in you. And we thank you for it, Lord, and make us ever vigilant and diligent in our quest to stay on this road, Lord, that you've got us on this path, on this race that you've got us in, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody with a good night's sleep tonight, with wonderful dreams and visions, Lord, tonight of the things that are coming up. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing for us. Amen.
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 All right. Good night, everybody.